boy, do we have a treat for you. It's not necessarily what we're going to be talking about. It's who we're going to be talking to, which is the, I don't know, is it more macho? Is it better looking Matern?
All of the above.
Another Matern.
Another Matern. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, look, this is the mantra that I live by in the Matern world. If you can't do, teach. So that's why Max is teaching now.
And then, do you know who you're talking to here?
Wait. Did he say that about us? We said that about us.
That just went past that right by, didn't it?
Sam caught that as a fastball. He didn't even swing, get the bat off his shoulder.
Right in the face with that one.
Very, very true.
We're going to do our best to get new thinking out there. There's going to be discussions centered around growth and new thinking.
That's where those great ideas come from, exploring them together.
Nuggets that you can go back and put into your dealership that'll help you make more money.
This is GarageCast.
So, listen, we have not Max, but Zach. Is it Zach or Zachary? What do you want to go by?
It depends on how formal we're getting in the conversation, but we'll just do Zach today.
Can you warm us up with just a little baritone really quick?
I'm more bass.
Your bass. Yeah. Okay. How about a little bass? Just a
little do-do-do-do-do.
Okay. That's not the barbershop quartet I heard on the internet.
So introduce yourself in all seriousness, because we want to ask you about some blind spots that dealers have right now in your realm. So talk to us.
So, 17 years in the dealership, from the ground up, we got out.
The dealership, TTRNO.
TTRNO in New Orleans.
Yep.
BMW, Triumph, Ducati, Vespa.
Yep.
We accidentally got into that business, and now I'm accidentally in the insurance business.
Yeah, there was like a boys choir. There was a Vesperados club.
It would make a great sitcom.
One episode. Yeah.
So 17 years as a dealer, you and Max were running the show for your parents towards the end. You were front of the house. Max was back of the house.
Yeah.
You got out of that, and now you find yourself with
commercial insurance. So I had to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up at 37 years old after only, living in this power sports world, right?
Sure.
So I end up, a guy I road raced with in the store, I was out one day, actually at a convention, kind of like job searching, industry searching, ran into an old client of mine, or an old customer of mine, who said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I don't know. What are you doing?" And he goes, "I think you'd be really good in commercial insurance." And I was like, "Listen, I don't want to be the insurance guy." No one likes the insurance guy, right? Anyway, over a couple of beers, he got me over there. So I ended up working for a very large firm, which was great because I got a great training. I had a great, business acumen was there. I just had to learn the tools to figure out what this industry looked like.
Right.
So quickly, when I got in there, I said, there's a hole in what we would be considered commercial risk management. I think there are two ways to look at insurance. There's commoditized buying, which is just strictly buying on price and going, that's the cheapest price. And then there's a risk management strategy where your broker actually works with you to make sure that you have the coverages you need. Premium is going to happen at the end, but more often than not, I find a lot of dealers are buying insurance, but they're not properly covered. And so in all the years we worked together as a 20 club customer of you guys, I don't really think insurance was ever really brought up, because you only think about it twice, when you buy it and when you need it.
Yeah, man.
Well, and I tell you, in our 20 clubs, it was brought up when people, it seemed like every 2 years somebody would be like, "Hey, you guys shopping your garage
keepers?" Garage keepers,
I know somebody's got a different rate, which leads to the commodity base that you were just talking about.
And listen, at the end of the day, it is about price, right? But you got to, if you're gonna, you have to buy it, so you might as well make sure you've got the coverage you need there.
Yeah.
So, while I was at this larger firm, I really started to go after it and created an entire business plan, went to the firm and said, "Hey, I want to focus here." And they said, "That sounds great, but not here. Maybe you should go somewhere else."
So to clarify, you want to customize insurance plans for dealers, knowing that you spent 17 years and actually know what dealers need.
And what that looks like is, there are direct writers like a Zurich or a Century or a Federated, where the broker you're dealing with is just selling you their own product.
Okay.
What I do, and what a typical insurance brokerage does, is we go find markets and then have multiple options that can put together kind of a bespoke program for the business, whether it's a dealer or, you know, any commercial business.
Yeah.
So basically 3.5 years into the company, I get a call from a recruiter one day, and they said, and I was like, listen, you know, I think I want to make a move, and it may not be in insurance. And they said, well, what if you could create your own program? And I said, I have this entire plan. There's 3,000 of these businesses, and nobody's really paying attention to it.
Okay.
Over a 6-month period, they brought me in, and I started this summer with Apier Commercial Risk Management. They're a Vegas based company. Pretty cool. I'll give you a little bit of background. Entrepreneurial group of guys. They're not insurance people. They started in the cell phone business. They had a business called Go Wireless. They were the largest Verizon reseller in the U.S. Mm. In the early 2000s, they invented cell phone insurance, and that's how they got into the insurance business. They've since sold. They've sold the entire cell phone part of the business, and now they have a venture fund. So, like, I ate at our new restaurant here in Vegas last night. They invest in a lot of really, really cool things. And so, just for me as being an entrepreneur, I'm in this really great entrepreneurial situation where I laid out the plan. I said, give me 3 to 5 years. They said, let's go run with it. So when you're in the insurance world, the biggest Achilles heel are the markets that you have available to you. So the unknown was, when I move, do they follow me? So this summer, I got everyone to follow me. And then from there, I had a plan. I said, listen, we got to go in here. We have to become the industry experts. We have to be able to talk the talk and empathize with the dealers. And just be the guy. Be the guy that helps.
So what are some of those blind spots that people don't think about when they're thinking about their insurance?
Number one, your relationship with your broker. Your broker should be an advisor to you. Your broker should be like your CPA or your attorney. And don't throw two brokers on the market at the same time. Because if I go into the market, I can block every market that's out there. Two brokers can't approach the same market. So you may not get the best outcome because it may take a couple different pieces to get you the right coverage for what you need. So number one, broker relationship. To piggyback on that broker relationship, making sure that your limits are correct and really understanding what the limits mean. So last couple of years, the construction costs are astronomically higher than they were a couple of years ago. If you're not, you know, taking a look at your property limits, you could really have an issue if your building burns down and you're still covered like it was 5 years ago.
Great point.
Yeah.
You know, sounds like increasing flooring lines because the pricing of inventory is too high.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Good. Point one. Give us another one.
You've got not putting more brokers in the market at the same place. You've got false pretense is a huge issue. And what false pretense is someone comes into your store as disguised as someone else somehow with fake ID, buys a bike from you, and then realizes you sold the bike to them. So they go, oh, we're going to buy another bike, and another bike, and another bike. And you don't realize till 6 months later when the bank calls you and says, hey, nobody's made any payments on this. I think this is fraudulent. So making sure you're getting ahead of that. You know, I thought when my perception of the types of claims I would see would be like completed operations. A mechanic doesn't put a wheel on correctly, the wheel falls off. Or smash and grabs, you know. Somebody drives a truck into your dealership and throws a bunch of stuff in the back. The number one claim that I've seen in the 5 years that I've been doing this, and it's growing, is false pretense.
No kidding.
And they're vendors like 700 credit, right, where you can run someone's ID and make sure it's legitimate. So, you know, those are really big pain points. Just kind of, you know, getting ahead of it and making sure that you're giving the right amount of information, because it's a garbage in, garbage out situation. You've got to put the work in. Look, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to move. It's a lot of work, you know, to do that. But spending the time with your broker to make sure that they have all the information. Because what we are in the marketplace is an advocate for you. We tell the story to the underwriter, because the underwriter is getting 400 of these a day, and you got to figure out what makes you stand out from those other people. And so what I'm trying to do here is not only be the advocate for the client themselves, but to be the advocate for the industry, because there's so few markets already that are available. Not only am I always trying to find new opportunities, you know, on the dealer side, I'm constantly trying to find new opportunities on the underwriting side, because the reason why they don't approach this business is because they don't understand this business. Mm.
Okay. Last question before we part here. And that is, I had a couple of my dealers in a 20 club a couple of weeks ago talk about how insurance premiums are going to like double 50, 60% just year over year for the next coming year-ish. Any color on that?
Depends on where you are in the country, because some of those dealers were already feeling that pain. Some of those clients are already feeling that pain. It's just going to level out across the board. And the reinsurance market is catching up. But yes, there will be more. And also what happens too, with Century leaving the power sports world, except for Harley dealers, Century was priced way lower than anybody else. So you're also going to see increases just because they were coming in at a price play. And then at some point, they can't play that price play anymore. So
and why are they leaving? Too many claims?
Too many claims. That's a pattern in this business, because all of these underwriters are in the surplus lines market. So it's like these ancillary programs that at some point explode and you have to move on. What I'm trying to do is continually fill the pipeline with new opportunities. So when those underwriters pull out, there is another option to go to.
Mm. Got it. Right on. Zach Matern, the better looking,
smarter,
burlier version of Max Matern.
Taught him everything he knows.
Hey, how do people find you, Zach?
You can find me at Zach Matern on LinkedIn, sellbrokerage.com. Under the risk management section is where I am. So
thank you for spending some time with us.
You bet, guys. Thank you so much.
All right,
thanks, Zach. Back to you, bud.